Welcome back to Community Connections. As we were talking to Aaron, well, part of his interview, we talked about Mont Delancey. And I got to be honest, I went there only late last year with a group, and we had the morning tea, and we had a look around the place, and we had someone take us around. Pardon me. And I thought it'd be terrific to get the person that took us around, not realising until we got started a bit that actually the lady that took us around, her family is a direct descendant from the actual person that built Mont Delancey. So it's my pleasure to introduce Barbara Sabir. How are you, Barbara?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. Lovely to meet you again.
Oh, it's good to meet you too. So let's go back a bit. What year was Mont Delancey built?
Well, the house itself was built in 1886, but the property was settled in 1867 when Crown land was opened up for settlement, and one of the couples who decided to have a go was Henry and Martha Sabir. And Henry was a stonemason, so he wasn't a farmer at all. Right. And they were originally from Guernsey, so that's why we've got a lovely French-sounding name, which makes us a little bit special, I think. And they moved on to their 80 acres of bush and created a new life, so... Martha was pregnant, I might say, and the child that was born that year was my husband's grandfather. So my husband's very proud of the fact that his grandfather, Wandon, was the first white child born in Wandon.
He was, was he?
He was, yes, the first born to the new settlers.
So it's your husband's grandfather?
My husband's grandparents, and on his mother's side, he's also her grandparents were also first settlers as well.
In Wandon?
In Wandon East, yeah, their name was Baker. So Baker Road in Wandon East, that's named for my mother-in-law's family.
On the day that you took us around, you said there was, what, about five families were the original, was it?
There were four families who came from Guernsey. So the Rouges, the Gordians, the Lepages and the Sabirs came from Guernsey. But people came from other parts of Europe as well. There were four families, I think, that came from Switzerland. And the first family to settle on their block were actually Johann Berge and his wife and 18-month-old child. And their descendants are still
around too?
Yeah, still there.
All right, so what originally was Mont Delancey? Like, they got all these acres, they obviously cleared it, and what did they run on those acres?
Mostly they grew a lot of raspberries in their very, very early years, and of course raspberries are very soft fruit, yeah. And they had to send them by wagon down to jam factories in South Yarra. I don't think there are many jam factories in South Yarra these days, but that's what they did with their fruit. But and then, of course, you can get a crop fairly quickly from raspberries. Yep. But the leases were very strict. They had to clear a certain percentage of their land and build a house, fence it, get a crop growing, allowed people to buy their land after that. But mostly they moved in on leases. And a lot of them didn't actually have much skills in the way of farming, so they were starting from scratch. Right. So, yeah, it was courageous of them, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
I reckon. Well, I'd call it gutsy. But anyway, that's another story. All right, so it wasn't always growing fruit, was it? I thought I read somewhere that it was at one stage during the economics of the some era that they ran a few cattle on that. Is that right?
They did. Thomas, who was the son who inherited half of the 8-acre property, he actually put in a dairy herd in the late 30s. Got the timber to build his dairy from where they were building the Sylvan Dam, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, and ran a dairy herd quite successfully for a couple of decades, but then the family went back to fruit again. So mostly it's been fruit over the years. And Thomas's grandson is still got the big... We can see his big shed out in front of the house itself. So we've got the past and the present in one spot, really.
So how big is the property now?
Well, we've got about, talking in the old language, about 5 acres, I think it is, or 2 acres, something like that. And yes, the thing about Mont Delancey was we did have to cut an old house out of a rural property, which took a bit of doing. That took a while and was expensive. We were spending money doing up a house and building a museum, but yeah. We have to do those things because we did ask the community to commit money and their passion, I guess you could say, and a lot of time. There's been a lot of thousands and thousands of volunteer hours spent keeping Mont Delancey open for what will be 31 years this March.
So I've got to take a break in a minute, but who actually now owns Wandalands? Is it still owned by your family?
Oh, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. We were very careful to do that, to create a separate title. It's owned by a non-profit company with a board of directors. I'm one of the directors. There are no shareholders. If we fail at all, and we're certainly not going to fail, it goes to Arts Victoria or something like that. So nobody's going to profit from all of the work people have put in, except the community who come and see what we've achieved all these years.
We're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about that right now. Talking to Barbara Sevier, and she's part of the family that built Mont Delancey and was part of the whole thing until it became a public place. But there's one thing that intrigued me that you told us, Barbara, on that day, and I should mention I paid on the day, so I'm not doing an interview because I got something for free. I actually paid, and I didn't know Barbara until I went on that day. Barbara, one of the things that intrigued me is the kitchen wasn't part of the house, you were telling us.
No, it wasn't. We had a house without a kitchen, which was rather bizarre. Yeah. When we opened 31 years ago, we'd restored the house. We'd turned what was a farm shed, really, into a museum with a small reception on the front, and that was it. Our big plan was to build a kitchen as soon as possible, and our kitchen is actually built from slabs retrieved from an original house in Wandon East built by the Hogg family going way back. And some of the early settlers did build very you know, crude homes, really. The fact that Henry Sabir was a stonemason enabled him to actually build a substantial house, which has served us really well. I think we, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that he could do that, that we wouldn't probably have our museum. So we did build the kitchen ourselves. We used the little windows that were in the original church that the community built within a couple of years of settling there. Luckily, someone had put those to one side when they tore it down in 1960, and we opened our kitchen on our second anniversary. Our first anniversary, we actually had a little ceremony to accept the gift of St Mary's Chapel, which was Wandon's original Anglican church.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that in a few minutes. But am I right that the kitchens weren't part of the house in those days? Or because I noticed where you've built the kitchen is a bit away from the house.
It is.
Is that how they originally built
Well, that's certainly how they built their house. And a lot of houses did have the kitchen on the back, perhaps with, if the fire got away, you had some hope of knocking it off and not losing the whole house. But, of course, when we have the school children come through, we talk about the hot water service was a couple of big black kettles on your stove and you had to light your fire in, even in the middle of a heat wave where you had no hot water at all. You couldn't have a cup of tea or wash the dishes. So, yes, they did build their kitchen absolutely separate.
So most people built them, pardon me, just a bit away from the house.
Yeah, sometimes with a covered walkway or something like that. It just changed. It depended on how they built, I suppose.
But I suppose when you think about it, if you've got a day of, say, well, it would have been 100 degrees in the old temperature, not 40. But I suppose when you think about it, if you've got to keep your water hot all day, it'd certainly make the house. And there was no air conditioning or anything like that.
Absolutely not. Mind you, the house is quite cool because we've got double brick walls.
Uh-huh.
We've got a veranda all the way around. We've got high ceilings and quite small windows because window glass, of course, was expensive anyway. But it does remain quite cool in winter when the wind whistles through that passageway. It can be quite chilly. So,
But something else I wanted to talk about also, and you just alluded about it, the somebody gifted you a church because what I'm trying to explain to the people who haven't ever been there, there's a lot more to Mont de Lancy than just an old house. There's a lot more, and I'm going to talk about that with Barbara in a couple of minutes. But the you were gifted a church, so where did that come from, and was it one of the original churches?
It was built in Beanak Road, and it was built in the 1920s, and it's got a lovely little story. I really enjoy the story of our chapel. It was built alongside a small house, which was a holiday house called St Mary's Cottage, which was owned by the Sisters of the Church, who are an Anglican order who founded St Michael's Grammar School for Girls in St Kilda back in the 1890s.
Yeah.
Now, that in itself is extraordinary because they didn't think girls needed educating in those days.
Yeah.
And the sisters liked to come out into the Yarra Valley, and who doesn't?
Yeah.
And in the early decades of the 20th century, once the railway came, going to Wandon, going to Hillsville, people in the city like to come out into the countryside, enjoy the country air, walk in the bush, eat berries and cream. What else could you want? And the sisters had this little cottage. So, but the little chapel, it's still the same as it was back then. The interior hasn't been changed at all, and it simply wasn't large enough. And the opportunity came to us to actually bring it to Mont de Lancy, so we put our hand up for that. So the kitchen had to wait, so we bought the St Mary's Chapel to Mont de Lancy, and it's been a great asset.
And that's the sort of thing. Obviously, they rebuilt the church, did they? So
they built a new one on the site. Yep. So St James is a lovely modern church, and you know, more suited to their needs today. So just the little chapel was just too small. Once you got 40 people sitting in there, it was pretty snug. So
I bet it was. But that's the sort of stuff that could have got demolished too,
oh, absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. And most of the original, you know, the Rechabite Hall and other halls and things, they burnt down. And a lot of the original buildings, I guess, were wooden, so they didn't survive time. But, it was lovely to save the little chapel. And we've actually had visitors from the city who walked in and said, I remember this. And they, during the Second World War, they were boarders at St Michael's, and they were sent out into the countryside because the army took over their big building.
Oh, yeah.
The armies did things like that during war times, I think.
Yep.
And we said, well, OK, before you go, write your memories down for us. So, yeah, And it's just nice to... and, of course, there are local people who've married in the church or have had their children christened there. So it's got a lot of memories for
people. Yeah, I suppose so, too.
I've been to a wedding there and christenings, yes, 50 years ago.
Yeah, I suppose. I hadn't thought of it from that. I was just more thinking how great it was to protect it and keep it. But, yeah, I suppose there were people.
There was, and we bought a little dormitory along with it, which the girls would have used during the Second World War, and we've turned that into our little schoolhouse. So we run a school program with Wandanyalik Primary School, which is the district's first school.
All right, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. And that was a groove, and Simon Says. We're talking to Barbara from Mont Delancey, and as Barbara's told you, her husband's grandfather built Mont Delancey and had it as a property. So she's really got a connection to it. She's done a lot of homework about it. Always a great person. So if you're down there and Barbara is there, you want to listen to her because she really knows a lot about it. And apart from the house, which we've talked about, after we had our lunch, there's a little museum at the front and upstairs as well. So went down to look at that. It's terrific. But, Barbara, just for a couple of minutes, I just want to talk. It's not only Mont Delancey and this little church, but you've got a number of groups there too, haven't you?
We do. We did have a priority right from the very beginning to get a blacksmith shop built because people just love to see a blacksmith at work, and it's a lost trade. And so we do have a large blacksmith shop, and we have a group of people who like to do blacksmithing, so they'll be there every weekend. And Oscar's been teaching blacksmithing for 20 years now, so probably hundreds of people have probably had a bit of a go. Some of them find it's their thing, others move on to something else. But it's an interesting thing to see happening, and very important part of our school program as well. We've got Eastern Wood Turners too, who are on site, and they don't turn the old-fashioned way, but they've got electric machines, but that's fine because they make things that don't need batteries to run, so make lots and lots and lots of wooden tops.
And use up little bits of timber that would
absolutely
have gone in the
they're
fire.
Great recyclers. Yeah. The blacksmiths do wonderful things with old railway spikes, apparently.
Oh, do they?
They do. It's amazing what they can do. You go in there and ask them what they can do with a railway spike, and they'll tell you. And we also have on site the Yarra Valley Machinery Preservation Society.
Ah, that's terrific.
Aren't they terrific? Oh, their machines? Yes.
Everyone loves steam.
We don't actually have steam, but we've got lots of...
I thought they had a couple of steam motors down there.
Not steam. We've got petrol and horse-drawn, of course. Yep. And, one of the guys has just done up a horse work, so we're going to be having that running next weekend. Yep. And very handy guys to have around. When the bell tower at St Mary's needed a bit of work, the guys lowered it to the ground. And yes, a couple of our volunteers fixed that up. So, yeah, but they've been a great boon. And it's nice to give people who enjoy those old skills a place to work and meet. Yeah.
And it sits beautifully within Mont de Lancy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, a lot of the old machinery and that, what do you do with it? You know, so we've got our own machinery shed full of static material. Lots of projects there. If we ever get to it, we're never going to run out of jobs to do at Mont de Lancy.
No, well, there's some horse-drawn vehicles in that too, isn't there?
There is. Yes. And some interesting thing, we've got an old Grey Ferguson tractor that was officially the first one landed in Australia way back in the 1940s.
Yes, sir.
Yes, when they loaded 156 off the ship for demonstration purposes, they put a number on there, on the plate, and ours is numbered number one. So, yeah, interesting. That's a whole other story. The whole Ferguson tractor thing is just... an incredible story, really. We've got a Grey Ferguson, and my husband runs a sawbench with it. So.
And there are heaps of them around.
Yeah, they are.
I've just got to ask you, because how did you get number one? Was it part of Mont de Lancy?
No, it wasn't, but it ended up in Lilydale, and Terry Hudson actually donated it to us, so we're very grateful for that. So it is nice to have a special little tractor. But, yeah, the extraordinary story.
Did they buy it?
I don't know how he came by it.
I was just wondering how he got it.
But they certainly used them in the valley, and because my husband's grandfather bought one, you know, probably in the 50s or whatever, and he used to use it to pump water from the underground tank into the header tank to put water through his house. I mean, they were very versatile little tractors.
Oh, so. They certainly were.
But machinery's not really my thing, but, yeah, I do get excited about it. Born curious, I think, yes.
I've just got to ask you, Barbara, and we're still talking mainly about Mont de Lancy, but your husband, obviously ran some sort of orchard?
Yeah, we grew cherries years ago. I met my husband up a cherry tree when I was 16 and looked for a school holiday job picking cherries.
So, and you found a job
and
on the
rest is history, yes. Not knowing that he was actually, part of a family that had been there for generations. And we married in 68, which is right when Warndon was celebrating its centenary. So that's when I was first became more aware of how far back his family's history went in the district. And so we, these days, we cut proteas and leucodendrons and we grow persimmons and things like that.
So you're still in the same area?
We've still got part of his grandfather Warndon's property.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not all of it, but if we had all of it, we'd be happy. But
all right, I've just got to ask you this. What made you, Barbara, now you knew that you had this history, you knew about Mont de Lancy, but what made you want to do all the research and all that? Were you always interested in research, or just because of Mont de Lancy, or just personally you? What got you so involved?
I guess I just got curious and liked to learn. And what I particularly like about the history of the district was the fact that they moved into an area that had absolutely nothing. First thing they did was reserve a bit of land to build a church on, and they reserved land to build a school on. They reserved land for recreation, cricket and other recreational purposes, as they put it.
Yep.
So I was listening to Aaron talking to you before, talking about sporting clubs and that. I mean, a lot of those grounds were actually established in the first place by local committees who did the work, and of course now council is responsible for them, but it's actually the community that runs what happens there. So I really like the community connection as well. But, yeah.
Terrific. All right, we've got to go to a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Good day, I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. We take a walk. The sun is shining down, burns my feet as they touch the ground. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Then we lie beneath the shady tree. I love her and she's loving me. She feels good, she knows she's looking fine. I'm so proud to know that she is mine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
I'm talking to Barbara for All About Mont Delancey. Now, Barbara, you've got a big weekend coming up. Is it this weekend or next weekend?
It certainly is. We've got our Draft Horse and Yesteryear Festival this weekend. We've ordered fine weather and it's looking promising. And
21 on Saturday.
Perfect. A perfect day out for the family.
24 on Sunday.
$15 for adults and we let the kids come in for nothing,
yep,
which was great. And this is organised by the Yarra Valley Machinery Preservation Society, do the legwork on that for us. And so they'll have their machines going. We'll have draft horses. They've got the horseworks working, apparently, and a hay baler.
What's a horseworks?
Horseworks. Oh, well, the horse used to walk around in a circle, I think, and make things happen. This was before we had machines.
Oh,
before
right.
Steam. Before, yep, steam, yes. And, of course, they'll have a lot of other machines going, and the blacksmiths will be working, and the wood turners as well. And we'll also have a bit of craft happening as well, needlework and tapestry, lace making in the museum, I guess.
It's not just the horses, is it?
No, no, all sorts of old crafts and that, and stalls and market stalls and things like that. And we're a bit more modern as well, so we've got a jumping castle for the kids, ice cream, donkey rides. So we're in... we're in 71 Wellington Road, Wandon, and people can book on ahead of time if they want to, and or just pay cash or FPOS at the gate.
So what hours is it open?
We're open from 10 till 4. Yeah.
Both Saturday
and
Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday, yeah. So
so that's this weekend, the big draft horse extravaganza,
mm-hmm,
from 10 to 4 at Mont Delancey. What was the address again, Paul?
71 Wellington Road, Wandon.
It's easy to find.
Don't go to Roeville, no.
No, actually, I nearly fooled myself. When we came, I thought, I must just go up Wellington Road, and then I realised that road goes to Emerald. It doesn't go anywhere near.
I'm sure there's a reason it's called Wellington Road. There are a lot of roads in Wandon that have got... you know, names connected to local families, or French names even, because of the families who came from Guernsey, so they've carried the language through a bit, but yes. That's another thing I find quite fascinating. How did places get to be called what they're called, you know?
Is there a Sabia Road?
There certainly is.
Is there?
Yes, it was Progress Road when it was put in, but it was put in after the rail came to Wandon and the people down Gruyere area had a really long way around to get to the Wandon station, so they built Progress Road, which was eventually renamed Sabir Avenue after our grandfather Wandon.
Right. How did Wandon get its name?
Well, we're not quite sure about that. We think it was an Aboriginal name, an Aboriginal family name. Yalak means something like running water, and there are lots of places in Victoria with Yellick as the second name, yep. like Wurrielick. But I think that's where it came from. So our grandfather Wandon was named because of the area he was born in, not the other way around.
Yep.
And the property Mont Delancey, Mont on a hill, not a mountain, but and Delancey Lane in St. Petersport, Guernsey, is where the Sabir family home was at one stage. So
I was going to ask you that. So it's no, the Mont is because it's on the hill.
Yep.
And then
Delancey Lane in over in Guernsey. Yeah.
True. So was it named right from the start
I don't know exactly when they named it, but they did. By the 1890s, they were running Mont Delancey farms from there, and they were actually growing fruit trees for other people moving into the district. People continued to take up land in the area for decades afterwards. So, and it was a lot of fruit grown,
So we're saying, really, in the early days, there was about six major families in the area.
A lot of the early work was done by Netta and Neville Lord, who had a room in the Lilydale Museum before we actually had the community meeting to see if it was feasible to actually get Mont Delancey happening. And I think they identified, I forget how many families in those first 20 odd years, but more than six anyway.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Trigger and his eye on a hog.
Oh, Mona.
The gun said boo and the hog said boo.
Oh, Mona.
And the preacher grabbed him with all his grip.
Oh, Mona.
Oh, Mona.
Yes, you shall be free.
Oh, Lordy, Lord. Oh, Mona.
Yes, you shall be free.
Yes, you shall be free.
When the good Lord sets you free.
Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Barbara all about Mont Delancey, a very interesting place. Barbara, a couple of things. How often? I know it's open every weekend, but we didn't go on a weekend. So is it open during the week or only if somebody books?
No, it absolutely is open during the week. We've been open Wednesday to Sunday for 31 years this year.
Wednesday to Sunday? Oh, I didn't
Wednesday really. To Sunday, a very big commitment and determined to do that.
Now, I guess, like everybody else, do you only want volunteers that know the history, or do you want to get people and teach them the history that they can be a volunteer for you?
We want volunteers for all sorts of things. If you like to garden, we have a gardening group who garden on Monday. We have volunteers who come up just when we have school groups come through. We have about 40 schools a year come through.
Do you?
We do, a couple of thousand kids, and they do a session in the education centre in the afternoon, but in the morning we show them around the buildings. All we do is lead the little crocodile around. We talk about big cups under the bed. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I know.
And what did you do before you had electricity, and how come you haven't got it? What do you do without a telly and all that type of thing? So, and children do talk about the olden days when they're in about grade one, grade two, thereabouts. So that's the age that kiddies are. And I love doing that. There's a lot of them come all dressed up and that, and we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we have volunteers who do that. We have... And if anyone's interested in blacksmithing or wood turning or working with old machinery, I'm sure those groups would love to have some new members as well. So, but we do have people who come in just to help show people around and work on reception desks up the front, so all sorts of things.
So, Barbara, it's been open... Well, no, how long has it been open?
31 years.
31. Yeah. So what set off... Like, a lot of old houses have been demolished, let's be honest. They've just... Progress has taken and been... Who actually decided, no, we don't want this to be demolished, we want this to become like a museum and become part of the fabric of, well, of the society? How did that happen?
Well, I think there were just enough grandchildren of the early settlers who were keen for the history to be preserved who got together. And, of course, they couldn't do it all on their own, but held a public meeting and wanted to bring the Wandon Collection, as they called it, out from the Lilydale Museum and build on from that. So in a farming area, we were lucky that we had a lot of things in sheds, and that was the case at our place. We had grandfather's old house there with the furniture that had been left in the house after they'd passed, and so... When it came to fitting out the house, we just walked around with our little shopping list and nothing in our pockets to pay for or anything, and and we're able to fit out the house, which is lovely because there is a connection to the house. So, look, it was just a commitment by a lot of people way back then. And of course, now we've got to keep it going by, and our volunteers do that. So people have joined us since who just like what we're doing. They just like the whole community aspect of the thing. And as well as the skilled children, we have a lot of groups who come out in little mini buses, and a lot of them on frames or walkers and that, who just enjoy being nostalgic about what it was like at their grandma's house, perhaps, you know.
So what made you, Barbara, think, I'm going to get involved here? Because you're a mum, you've got four children and a husband, and you own a farm, or you were running a farm. What made you say, I think I want to be one of these volunteers?
I think my mother-in-law volunteered me.
Oh, did you?
No, look, perhaps I'm just one of those people who just likes to get involved with things. And I know it made my late father-in-law very happy to see his parents' things go up into the house. And, yeah, so it's just, yeah, look, it's just great to be involved in a community thing like that, I guess. And,
when you started doing this research... Did you find anything about the family that you didn't know? I don't mean anything dramatic. I just mean anything that you just didn't know about.
Well, I didn't know much about the family at all, but I know now more about my husband's family than he does, he tells me.
Does he?
But I think I'm just curious. But, I mean, over the years I've had to learn to use a computer, and I guess everybody my age has had to learn to use a computer. It's not something we thought. But way back then, when I look at what we started with, we sort of started with no skills at all, really, a lot of us, most of us anyway. I'll admit to that. And for a lot of years I actually worked in our tea room. We did run that for ourselves for quite a while, but I was, you know, happy to not have to deal with the coffee machine eventually. Because.
Well, and we should mention that too. I know we've just shot past a little bit, but obviously the day I came, we had a beautiful morning tea, which we paid for, and that's part of the tour. But once we'd done the tour, we all thought, stuff smells pretty good here, so we stayed for lunch. So you can not only just have the tour and the morning tea, you can... you can come along and have a very nice lunch too, can't you?
That's right. Two Peas and their pot have been with us for a few years now. We ended up leasing out the cafe because we simply couldn't run it with volunteers.
Yep.
We could do basic stuff, but we couldn't do what people were really looking for. And they were very brave. They took it on just as we were coming out of COVID, so you can know how challenging that was for hospitality. So, but no, look, they're fitting in really well, and the new people have actually bought it, but the same people are running it. So, yeah, so that's been a big asset. So it is nice. I mean, people just want to come out into the valley and have somewhere nice to eat and somewhere nice and peaceful to to enjoy the day. So.
It certainly is a peaceful place, being up on the hill. And,
absolutely.
And you could be a million miles from anywhere, couldn't you?
That's right, and you can take what you want away from the place. Some people are really into the history and others are just like to, you know, just...
See the old things.
Yeah, be glad they don't have to boil the water to wash the dishes. Well, do all that laundry in a copper and you know.
And let's not make it sound too simple. And I know a lot of people have suffered without power for the last week or so. But our lives are built around power,
and you tend to
forget that there was a day when people didn't have.
Absolutely.
You couldn't just go and turn it on.
Well, I grew up in a house outside of Lilydale, and it was a long time before the power came to us. Mum had an old black stove. And
true.
We used to saw up wood. That was fun to saw up wood for Dad, but, and we had a thunderbox down the back paddock, in the backyard, you know.
And you say that to some of the young people, and they won't believe you because, you know, they used to just go into the toilet in the house, and a lot of houses have got two toilets now with en-suites and all.
Absolutely.
But the pioneers didn't have that luxury.
No, they didn't. They didn't, and they fought for a lot of... They worked and formed committees to get what they wanted, like the railway and all that sort of thing. There was a lot of history involved with getting the railway, and, of course, it served its purpose, and now it's gone, but the rail trail is getting good use, so there's a possibility.
Let's be honest, the railways opened up a lot of area would never have been opened up without the railway.
There were a lot of... guest houses up Warburton Way and Hillsville as well, I think. My parents had their honeymoon in Warburton. It was funny that they ended up buying a little house outside Lilydale. Dad with his war services loan, you know.
Well, I can remember talking to somebody, this is years ago, and their holiday house was at Upway.
Yes, yes.
You know, they lived down Clayton Way, but they said, well, we didn't have a car. By the time you got the train and another train and a bus... Took them all day to get to Upway.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, we can hop in a car and be there in 10 minutes. But
well, that's right. You might spend a lot of time sitting in traffic, mind you. But
well, certainly if you live down there. We are starting to run out of time. It's first of all, we just need to mention this draft horse extravaganza, or whatever you call it, is on this Saturday and Sunday, between 10 and 4. But it's just not only draft horses, is it?
No, it isn't. No, the machinery and the blacksmiths will be working, the wood turners will be working, and we've got market stalls and all sorts of fun things happening. And things for the kids, so it's a great day out for the
and
families.
I guess a lot of young people that come, I've never seen a blacksmith work because, well, the day we were there, they weren't working. But, I mean, by the time when I was growing up, even my age, blacksmiths weren't around.
No, they weren't. They've been... it's a lost trade, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess for young people to come out and actually watch the blacksmith person doing their work is just fascinating.
It is, yeah. It's just life experience, isn't it?
You know? I must come back one weekend because day we were there, they weren't open. But,
come on the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I must come and have a look again. But look, I think it's a terrific place. Again, the address, please, Barbara?
71 Wellington Road, Warnden.
You know that well.
I do.
I think it's terrific that it's being preserved because, you know, particularly in the last few years, a lot of places just get knocked over and something else is built and that. And so somebody or a group of people had the foresight to say, well, look, this is an old place. It's got a real history about it. Let's do something about it.
Absolutely, yes.
And I guess, again, you're probably, like every group in Australia, are looking for more volunteers.
We certainly are. We've got some great volunteers who are, some of them are Rotarians and some of them work with the field days and, you know, local footy clubs and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, all volunteers are precious, aren't they? But there's a lot of call for volunteers, but certainly anyone who'd like to come to Mont Delancey and do something like gardening or talking to people, like I like talking to people,
please
join us.
I guess that, as you're just saying, they don't have to have any knowledge about Mont Delancey. If you're going to garden, well, you're just happy to have anybody who wants to pull some weeds.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I really must say it's true. And that little chapel you've got is just fantastic because the day we were there, and I must say one of the group in my group, he was brought up around Warnden, and he was blown away by the whole day. It brought back heaps of memories for
That's
me.
The thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bringing back memories for people who know the place, and even people who don't know the place might, you know, walk into our kitchen, oh, remember Grandma's house, Grandma had an old stove like that, or iron.
And I guess one of the other things too, and just in closing, that I guess a lot of young people don't realise how hard life was for some of those families back in those days with no power and no running water.
That's right, and the women folk were so strong, you know, and I can't picture moving into the bush with four kids under 10 and pregnant with the fifth. I really can't, but that's what Martha did, so good on you, Martha.
Yeah, I'd reckon. She'd a pretty gutsy lady. And,
absolutely.
And it would be pretty unforgiving when you, like, when you see it now, a lot of it's clear than that, but I mean, you just move into there with little children and no power and probably only tank water at the best.
Until they had that, they have to go to the nearest creek or spring and cart water home until they could actually build something to catch rainwater. Yeah, so there was as well. So,
hadn't even thought of that. Barbara, look, thanks for your time. Unfortunately, I've got to get moving. No, 2 o'clock news. I forgot. The 2 o'clock news is right there, but thank you for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.